Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right?
Oh, yeah, you nailed Tuesday. It. Yeah. You absolutely nailed it.
All right, well, good to know.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. This is the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness, where anything can happen.
And it usually does. I like to call this Bill Leff Unleashed. Even when you weren't here, I said I like to call this the bonus hour or stream of consciousness or Bill Leff Unleashed. We just have a lot more time to let things breathe.
And you don't make me wear a leash during this hour, and I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. I can walk around unencumbered. Did you notice, by the way, I now do the show standing up?
I go back and forth. Did you notice? I sit for a while, then I stand, then
I sit.
I've
only seen you stand for a very little amount of time, though.
I go back and forth. Today, my knee's a little sore, so I'm sitting. But yesterday...
Jasmine, could you bring in the absorbing senior for Wendy, please?
I don't know why I laugh at you. I just encourage you.
It's the absorbing for the older crowd.
I'm not older, but can I just tell you something that I have a bone to pick with Mary Sandberg Boyle,
yeah,
who produces the Steve Cochran Show, one
I've
of the producers.
Her. I know who that is.
She said something this morning. They were talking about strange things that happened at weddings, and there's a new thing now that like a late night snack comes out at a wedding. Not at my wedding. We didn't have that.
I've seen it. Sometimes it's White Castle hamburgers.
Yeah, or
You've
pizza.
Seen that? Pizza, right. They do it at the very end for the people who have stuck it out.
All right, I think that's an awesome idea,
yeah.
But Mary Sandberg was saying, you know, for the older, you should have two seatings. Like, the people 50 and older can do the second seating, and those, you know, up
that's
to
an arrow in the heart is what that is.
50 is the new 30.
I'm not sure that's true. Is that true?
In my mind, it is.
All right, let's go with that's true then. But, yeah, you don't want to be lumped in
no.
with somebody's great-grandparents who are in from Daytona.
I'd say 80 and up, eat early.
80 and up. Now, I'm sure somewhere someone's listening to this who's 80 going, hey.
You know what? You're absolutely right, because I have Dean Richards' mom just had surgery, and
yeah,
she's in her 90s and is doing great.
Yeah.
And it's like people are doing so well these days
right.
at a later age.
Right. But for Mary to just blatantly say
50
old
and
people
up.
Like 50.
That one hurt me this morning.
Fighting
and
words.
I like her, but that
no,
one hurt me.
I used to
me.
Like her. Not anymore. She will not get the time of day from me.
Good day, ma'am.
She's always asking me what the time of day is. I don't know why she does that. She's got a phone.
I saw the amazing Yellow Submarine yesterday.
Yeah? What'd you think? You've never seen it before.
I have never seen it before.
This is the Beatles animated film from the late 1960s.
Well, you and I had an off-air discussion because we couldn't figure out who came first, Peter Max the artist
yeah.
or the Yellow Submarine.
Similar art form.
100%.
Very similar. Yeah.
I have never done acid. I don't plan to ever do acid, but I feel like that's what an acid trip would be.
I'm with you.
It's trippy. And my son Dylan's 15. He goes, you can't question it. Because he goes, how did you like it? And I said, I liked it. And he said, hang on a minute. What, Jasmine?
Oh, are you having an acid flashback right now from seeing Yellow Submarine?
Our intercoms were locking.
Oh.
Okay, I'm in. We're on the air now. You know that?
Yeah, I was just saying. What was that?
Oh, I don't remember where I was.
You were saying that you and your son were discussing having never
oh,
used...
Oh, he said, did you like it? And I said, it was very trippy and weird. He
it
goes,
is.
You just got to let it be.
Oh.
And he wasn't even giving a Beatles reference, although maybe he was now that I think of it.
Yeah, I bet he was.
But it was, you can't question it. It's just, Ringo really steals the show. The non-Ringo, Ringo cartoon.
Right. He's bluish. He doesn't look bluish. That's very funny.
He's got the best roles in that and the biggest.
Yeah. And that was by design because they were trying to find, well, they didn't need to find, but they wanted each Beatle to have an identity, you know? Paul was the cute one. George was the quiet one. They wanted Ringo to be the funny one.
What was John?
Was he
the cool one?
No, I want to say they considered him the smart one, but I could be wrong on that. But Paul cute, George shy, Ringo funny. I don't remember what John, how he was kind of pigeonholed.
Well, it was
I want to say smart one, but I could be wrong on that.
That's what they say about you and I.
Yeah.
I'm the smart one.
Yeah.
And then we wondered about the Peter Max thing. Now, Peter Max claims that the guy who did this movie reached out to him to do artwork for it. That guy, I don't remember his name, but he denies it. But Peter Max says, I wish I could find the contract that they, you know, wanted me to sign because I could prove once and for all that they did ask me. Peter Max says he was solicited by Yellow Submarine producer Al Brodax to work on the film.
Yeah.
Although Brodax denies this, Max claims to have a contract, which he can't locate. I've used that before, too. I can't find it.
The Brodax was one of my favorite Dr. Seuss animals of all time, Wendy, and I don't think he would lie.
I don't think so, either.
If you look at pop art of that era, of the late 1960s into the early 1970s, everything was kind of that way, that psychedelic way. Even if, I know this is a stretch here, but even Pez back then, they had what they called Flower Pez, and it had that kind of flower childy San Francisco
feel.
Did
it really?
And yeah.
That's right what it is.
Yeah.
Like the San Francisco artwork.
Yeah.
And Peter Max, I loved him. We spoke to him. I had these Peter Max gym shoes, and I know I bring them up and whine about them all the time because I loved them. The bottom of the sole looked like a red mouth with teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of resembled like a Converse All-Star, but a low top.
Right.
I think they had them in high tops, too. And I've looked on eBay, and somebody wants, like, thousands of dollars for them.
Oh, no, really?
My neighbor's got a new sidewalk, and I was running home after playing with the neighbor kids. We were just out all day, and I was running home and stepped in fresh cement with my new Peter Max gym shoes, and I was embarrassed to tell my mom. And had I told her, she could have probably hosed them off, but the next morning they were cement boots.
Oh, that's horrible. And you so never replaced them,
obviously. No, somebody from the mafia borrowed the cement boots from me.
Oh, wow. That story had a weird twist, didn't it?
No.
I didn't expect that.
But, man, I loved those. I loved Peter Max, so I loved this movie. It was just, you mentioned, it was colorful and beautiful, and it really was.
Oh, the color's insane. And to see it, I've only seen it on television. I've never seen it in a theater. I can't imagine how it must play there with all that color just thrown at you.
It was pretty cool on a big screen, I have to tell you that.
But don't you think, wouldn't it have been a more enjoyable experience had the Beatles actually provided the voices? It's really screwy to me that, and as we were told by Patrick McDonald,
who did a great job emceeing last night.
I'm sure. The Beatles, because there was already a cartoon running on television, which wasn't very good, so when the Beatles were confronted with this, hey, we're doing a movie version of you guys, they just said, we'll sit this one out. Sorry, bloke, they said in unison.
But
Ringo,
then
you're the funny one. Say something funny. And he was out of stuff.
But then Patrick also told us that it was like an instant hit, and then the Beatles were kind of like, oh, man.
They should have done it.
And at the end, and I don't know if this is in the one you saw. I'm sure it is. The real Beatles come out to sing, have you sing
end.
All together now.
Right.
So that was their way of getting in on it then?
Yeah, so they appeared in it. Somebody told me once that was for legal reasons, because then they could say, yeah, the Beatles were in it, you know, because legally until then they weren't in it.
But the music is theirs.
Yeah, right. Without a doubt. Sure. Yeah.
Mr. Boob. The Nowhere Man.
Right.
I'm like, did they call him Mr. Boo? No, it's Jeremy or Mr. Boob or Fudd for PhD.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Honestly, it was a really weird, trippy experience at the lovely Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove, which I haven't been to since they remodeled. And
nice place.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
It is all old school single theater, stage, curtain.
Yeah.
And they redid the chairs, so it's comfortable.
That's the
Not
way
reclining, but
movie theaters used to be. I mean, I know they've made some advances. I mean, your picture's a lot sharper than ever before, and your sound system is way better than it used to be. But every once in a while, it's nice to be in kind of a retro theater watching a movie like that.
It was so cool, and this was an after-hours show, so you could get a cocktail if you wanted. And their popcorn was delicious, because I think it was just the old-school kettles that I'm not even kidding
you. No, it probably is.
It was just a throwback time, and it was really enjoyable to see that on a big screen.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw it.
Now, here's what I wanted to tell you. While you were gone, we had the Sklar brothers were back on with us on Friday. This
I
is
love
Randy
them.
And Jason. They are they're comedians and they're actors. They're identical twins. They came on. It's the second time they've been on the show, first without you. But incredibly nice guys. And when they were leaving, I mean, they were very, very funny on the air. And they have this uncanny ability to finish each other's
sentences.
Exactly that. So when when we found out we were having twins, my wife and I, that was one of the things I thought of.
Were the Sklar brothers?
Yeah, I said,
that's
I hope my wife and I give birth to the Sklar brothers. Which was an outrageous thing to say back then, because the odds of it were ridiculous. I was afraid that they would do the things that twins would do. Like, my exposure to twins, I had two kinds of exposure to twins. In my school growing up, we had a couple of sets of twins, and they were always, always, always paired together. If you talked about one, you always talked about the other, because they were always side by side. You know how those two twins are in The Simpsons, Sherry and Terry?
Yes.
Where there's never just Sherry or Terry.
Right.
They're always next to each other, and they're you know, it's like one. So, okay, so I didn't want that. And then the other thing was, every year they do this twins convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where they have all these contests.
Twin Cities.
The Twin Cities is why they do it there, yeah. So they have all these contests for the ones that look the most alike and the oldest twins, and there's always stories about twins that meet other twins and they get married. And I thought, oh, man, that's like a David Lynch film. I don't want any part of that. But it turned out we had twins, and they're great. But I was always afraid, or interested, maybe, to see if they would do that, finish each other's sentences, and they've never done it once. It's never happened once. Now, with the Sklar brothers...
They're identical twins. Yours are fraternal. I'm sorry.
You think that's the difference?
I do. I really, truly do. I think there's some... I'm crazy, first of all, because I think there's just some language that they create together. Identical twins, I mean, that's one egg that's split off into identical embryos, and there's something unique there that we can't understand.
But would you think that it would fade away... Like, these guys, the Sklar brothers are in their
40s. But they work together. They're with each other all the time. They work on projects together.
Right.
If they both went separate ways and moved across the country and had different lives, but they're together all... I mean, I know, we finish each other's sentences sometimes, too, mm-hmm. and I'm not with you off the air at all,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restraining order.
Right. That's still in place. And it will be for many, many years. All right, I can kind of buy that, and I will also throw this into the equation. You always hear stories, or you read these stories about twins that were separated at birth for whatever reason. Maybe they were given up for adoption or whatever, and then they meet each other years and years later, and it turns out that they both do the same thing for a job, and they've both named their kids Kathy and Glenn, you know, and you go, oh, how did that happen? Why would that happen? And I can't even pretend to understand how that happens.
There was a sick study, and I sent some information to Jasmine. I don't know, Jasmine, if we were able to reach out to any of those people. There were twins that were separated at birth, and it turns out that there were three of them.
Yeah.
It was an experiment, which I think is horrible. They separated these kids intentionally, and they just so happened to meet at a school or something. It's a documentary. We're trying to get someone on to explain it better than me. But they...
Is it called The Three of Us or something? Does that sound right?
I don't remember.
Three identical strangers.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jess.
And they are... They're similar in many aspects, but it's like the whole nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
Some things are innate, but some things it's like it depends how you grow up. I think they're saying that they did do everything similar.
Really?
But like a fraternal twin, it's like, you know, I don't look very much like my sister. You don't look like your brother.
No.
Your twins don't really look that much alike.
Not even a little bit. Right.
I mean, yeah. They don't even really look like they're related sometimes.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But, you know, I'm sure they have a way of communicating that's different than other people. Because they were together all the time, weren't they, when they were little?
When they were really little, they were. And our favorite thing was if one of them did something like they when they were trying to walk and they would fall, the other one would come and try to convey that to us, even though they couldn't talk yet. You know, they would like they'd move their hands around and stuff. And we would just say, get back out on the balcony until you learn to convey your thoughts. I'm not going to waste our time with you. So I know now it seems cruel, but back then it's what people did, Wendy. Come on. All right. So with Randy and Jason,
they're so identical too. It's really uncanny.
So much so that when talking to them, I'm almost leery of saying a name because I'm afraid I'm going to get the wrong name.
I'm
so
sure they're
I
used
just
to it.
Didn't say their name a lot. But then I said to myself, well, one of them wears glasses and the other doesn't.
Yeah.
Why don't I use that as a barometer? And even then, I'm like, what if they were screwing with me? And one of them put
That's
the other one's glasses
do.
On. Right. They're always off to mischief, Wendy, these twins. So during the show, what is so masterful about what they did, not only are they funny, they're really, really funny, is that as one of them starts to tell a story or a joke of some sort, it becomes a scene because the other one kind of moves in, and what starts out as just talking becomes a little vignette or a scene, and it's fantastic. But then when you talk to them off stage, as I did here when we weren't on mic or after the show the other night, they just naturally, their speech pattern is one of them starts to tell you something and the other one finishes it off. Every time.
And the weird thing is when twins do that, like when siblings do that, when one of my boys starts telling a story and the other one interrupts, they get mad because it's like, I'm telling the story.
Right.
But twins, they go back and forth and just stop
right.
and pick up and no one gets annoyed with
right.
one another. Have you ever seen a twin fight?
Yes. My next door neighbors when I was growing up were twins and they fought every day.
Identical?
Constantly. Identical. Yeah.
Really?
And the only way you could tell them apart was... Their names were Jeff and Scott had a birthmark, so his parents called him Scott with a dot. They would always refer to him as Scott with
his
a dot.
His parents started that?
Yeah, they did as babies because they were always afraid they were going to mix them up and then they wouldn't know which one was which.
That's what a Sharpie is for.
So they, wow. Right, you clearly mark them. Baby one and baby two. Thing one and thing two. Then you know who's who. Yeah, they used to fight all the time, but... Don't you know couples that they've been together for a long time, so they start to tell a story, and one of them always tells the best part, like the punchline of the story?
Yes, I'm married to that guy.
Oh, no.
No, we do share it. And we did that. We were talking about something on vacation, and we were telling a story from years ago, and that was I noticed at the moment that Jim and I were doing a really good job doing that. Like, I didn't even say it, but I set it up,
yeah.
And then I stopped. He picked it up right where I would have continued,
oh.
And then I finished up with the end.
Oh.
It was fun to do because, you know, typically somebody says the best part every time.
Right. Isn't it almost always the guy for some reason?
It does seem like it.
What's with that? Why can't the girl tell the good part?
Usually in my house, it's the girl that gets it, though. Poor Jim.
There was a couple we used to see fairly regularly, and whenever they would tell one of those couple stories, you got a lot of this. And then we go into a show, oh, you tell them, you tell them, you tell them. And then they would start, no, you. This is the part, you tell this part like that. And then that became the story.
Yeah.
So, no, just get to the story. You don't have to fight over who's telling which part.
So you actually went to a comedy show? You went to see the Sklar Brothers live in action?
It was the first time I've been in a comedy club, not in a... I've seen a bunch of shows in theaters, you know, with stand-ups involved.
Like the Chicago Theater or something along those
yeah.
lines.
Yeah, like Mike Toomey's done a couple of shows where it's been in big theaters,
yeah.
and I've gone to that. Or Judy Gold was in a couple of years ago, and I went to see her in Skokie at the Skokie Theater. There have been a bunch of those, but in an actual comedy club. And I think it's because for 10 years, I was in one almost every night.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago.
Oh, more than that. More than that. It was like 23 or 24 years ago. But I can't explain it, but it's like I was in them so often for so long. It's not like I've gone out of my way to not be in one. But we've had so many comics come up and they go, oh, come on out. Please come out. And I always go, yeah, I'm going to try, but I don't.
But you don't even try. But you did for these guys.
These guys just had these puppy dog eyes as they were leaving. And they go, it would really mean so much to us if you'd come out. And I explained to them, and the weekends are always rough. And then when they left, I go, you know what? I really like these guys. I really want to see them. And it worked. They were so funny, and so, they're so nice.
I love them. I'm so disappointed I missed it. Was Judy co-hosting that day that the Sklar Brothers were in?
Judy,
no.
You were not in on Friday. No. That was Anna
Belleval.
Yeah, Anna Belleval.
You mean Anna Belleval?
Yes.
You guys are so rude.
From the WGN-TV Morning News. She pronounces it wrong, Wendy.
That's what most of the show is about.
Right. She does not say it properly.
Bill couldn't say Belleval. You wanted to say Balaval. Belleval.
Yeah.
What is it?
Belleval.
And a Bonneval. And a Bonneval.
Yeah.
She's a hoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's very funny.
Yes.
She is.
In many languages.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right, we'll take a quick break. Judy's here. She'll give you the news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, the stream. I am so glad the stream of consciousness, the bonus hour, whatever it is you like to call it, Bill Leff Unleashed. I'm so glad it's back in action.
Me too.
I wasn't finished after 2 hours
right.
on the radio.
But after three, that's too much.
Yeah, but it's, you know, our home life is probably better because the spillover was happening too much
oh, yeah.
when we got home. Maybe not
yeah.
for you.
No, I so look forward to this hour because it just feels like we can get away with stuff. I don't know. I mean,
we're not,
we've
but
never,
it feels
right.
like it.
It feels like we could, right. Yeah. And
we have
get to
her.
See Judy.
You're honestly what I miss the most of not doing the
bump. Oh, you're hilarious.
I'm not even kidding.
Come on.
Because otherwise.
Because I'm so funny? Should I do stand-up?
Yes, you should
no,
definitely do stand-up.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that otherwise I never get to see you because you're here
oh,
to do row shows.
You flat out refuse to talk to us unless it's the bonus hour.
I know.
You say
and
you won't
I,
talk to us.
It reminds me of our good old times together when
yep.
I was your news person.
Yep.
When was that?
In the 60s, late 60s.
When did that happen? When did you do news with us?
When you did...
When we just started?
When you
no,
were
we were
on
afternoons.
Afternoons.
Trudy was our
oh,
news person.
Yeah.
Trudy Pollack,
oh, no, wait. I was your news person...
When I came back to join Bill for the first time?
Yes.
No, Bertrand was.
No, afternoons.
Okay.
Yeah, it was afternoons.
I don't remember when, but I did a good job.
Great job. You won a medal.
I thought I would do stand-up because it's not like Bill would come and see me.
Yep. I would cut. Now I would. Now that the...
Wait, let me look at you with my doughy eyes.
Ah, I'm in.
I would never do stand-up. Ever.
No?
No.
You have a microphone in front of you every day. That's
but
enough.
Stand up something. I mean, you have to be a certain kind of person.
You could do
me,
it.
I've been in place.
Yeah.
Stand up is something different. You have to.
You have to be very vulnerable.
Yes, and you have to be so tough too, and just
yeah.
be able to suck it up and
right.
not cry when people
right.
throw a tomato at you and stuff.
Right.
Does that still happen?
Yeah, people still throw tomatoes.
Who comes to a show with a tomato in their pocket?
It's
or are
like,
they just happy to be there?
Wouldn't you just once want to do that? Just throw some vegetable at someone?
No.
It's like the days of King Arthur's court. People break vegetables and they throw
you
them.
You hit my turkey leg with your tomato.
You know what? I want to be a jester instead.
Well, that's honestly.
But then I could be killed.
The court jesters of old are
right, stand-ups
now.
Right?
That's what
yeah.
they've been. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I was doing this, but the Love Boat was on one of the older channels, and Bill, I needed you there because there was Avery
Schreiber?
Yes, curly hair,
yeah,
mustache.
It's Avery Schreiber.
He was there with
Jack Burns. They were a comedy team for years. No,
this was out of his element because he was with Ray Wahlstrom.
Ray Walston.
Stahl, yeah, he was my favorite Martian.
Yeah.
Okay, there was two of those, and there was a black dude who I want to say was Scatman Crothers, because could that have been him?
Yeah, easily. He did. I know Scatman Crothers was on Love Boat.
There were several scenes of those three together.
Were they in love?
No, but they were...
Were they doing stand-up?
They were wreaking havoc on the ship a little bit.
Sure. Because why?
I don't know. They were just... I don't remember the whole... I was half-watching.
Scatman Crothers, Ray Walston, and Avery Schreiber...
Walk on to a boat.
The Love Boat.
It was on one of those older stations. I don't know if it's MeTV or what,
yeah.
but I was watching it,
huh.
and I didn't have the sound up because I was doing other things
yeah.
on my phone, but I saw the three of them together, and I just thought of you
That's
for some reason.
Wow. It's like a low-budget Ocean's 11.
And then John Davidson
well, I
walked
know what
by.
They were
he always did. That's what he did.
They were probably... There to work, though, right? Isn't that, as I recall, the Love Boat, people
they
came
were fighting,
on,
the three of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but they came on board to do a lot of times, like they did, you know what I mean?
The talent portion
yeah, the talent
of the
part.
Cruise.
And then you had
oh. Yeah, right. That would happen sometimes.
And maybe they triple booked it, and that would it is.
Maybe.
Ray Walston funny?
Ray Walston could be pretty funny. You've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right?
Oh, yeah, he was good.
Mr.
In that.
Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be pretty funny. And
he wasn't like an entertainer
he never did
comedian.
Stand-up.
Oh, okay.
No, he was an actor. But I got to find that episode. That sounds like a good time.
I thought of you right away. I looked at my TV and I'm like, this is 1970s big time.
I was,
and Bill Leff.
I was part of the last show that Avery Schreiber ever did. He did a show here for the Chicago Improv Festival that I hosted, and I got to hang out with him, and it was really cool to hang out with him because he did stand up. He did stand up. He did improv comedy. He was, you know, on TV. He's
he
the
was
guy.
Pretty
do you know
funny.
Who he is?
No,
Jude?
I don't.
Remember those Dorito commercials with the guy with all the black bushy hair?
He had like a black fro, but a grown out one and a mustache. He looked like Gene Shalit a little bit.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
I'll have to watch Love Boat and check it out because I thought I saw every episode.
But he did.
But
this
maybe
show.
It was Love American Style I was thinking about.
Oh, maybe. He did this show at the Athenaeum Theater. He was cool to hang out with, and then about a week or two later, he was gone, and it was very sad.
Like gone to the big time?
Gone to heaven.
Oh,
gone. All right, it's new. Was that your top story? If that was your top story, I'm sorry,
not.
I stepped on it. All right, it's news time right now. Here with the news is Judy Pilak. Thanks, Jude. My nephew Ben is 10 years old, and his team, he plays Little League, and his team made the championship game on Friday, and I went to watch. They lost the game, 7-5. Tough game.
At least they were in it.
But much like Anthony Rizzo, every team has four pitchers, right? I mean, that's just the way they structure it. And if a team is getting blown out, you do what they did in this Cubs game, is you throw in a guy to pitch that doesn't usually pitch. You don't want to burn up one of your four pitchers. So Ben is playing second base, so the manager comes out and he points at Ben to go in. So Ben is a little leaguer, but he watches baseball on television and he knows what baseball players do. So did you ever see a guy, Ben Zobrist does this on the Cubs, whenever he gets a hit or something, he does the sign of the cross and then he points upward to God as if to say, thank you for giving me the ability to hit the baseball. So the manager comes in and makes a switch and puts Ben in. Ben signs himself and then points up at God and then throws his pitch.
Before every pitch?
No, just at the very beginning.
Oh, that's adorable.
How did he pitch?
He did okay. Yeah.
That is really sweet.
It just shows the influence you're thrown, you know, from Major League Baseball players.
Hopefully the young children don't emulate too much from the ball players or they'd be touching themselves constantly. I'm always like, really?
And spitting a lot.
Spitting and... Just and it's so funny when they back off the plate when they're up to hit to a player, they undo their glove.
Right,
they do it under their glove.
Those are little ticks.
Exactly. I get it, but it's like because
Rizzo
have so many of the same ones.
I never watched the Cubs before, and then you know when they were vying for the World Series championship, I said okay, they deserve it. So I started watching, and Rizzo does like these
he
four
does the
pumps,
little pump.
Every time, and it's like I don't know if I did some weird thing every day. Like I don't know, I put my headphones on and picked my nose. If I did that every day and someone drew it to my attention, I'd be like, I can't do that anymore. It's just nature, right? I mean, how does that tick keep going?
It's how he bats, though. That's how he
that kind of motion.
Yeah, that motion. It's like a football player. I can't tell you. I used to always complain about this to anyone who would listen. Like, why do so many of these quarterbacks lift their legs up?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of lift their leg up and put it down, and then they throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like a motion almost.
Right.
Like the way they learned how to throw. That's how I look at Rizzo. I'm like, that's how he learned how to bat.
But it's, and I shouldn't say it's a tick. It's not. It's just, it's become their nature. It's like it was, do you think it was a ritual that all of a sudden turned into a habit?
Yeah, I imagine.
Because there are some pitchers that do the same thing. Like, you know, they'll adjust their hat with the left hand on the brim and then they'll go with the right hand three times. I mean, you can see them do their weird, quirky things.
There's been a couple of guys. The first two that come to mind are Joe Morgan, who used to play for the Reds and then the Astros, and a guy named Bobby Tolan, who played mostly for the Padres, but for other teams too. So they'll do a thing when they're in the batter's box where they keep, they're like flapping their arm like it's a wing.
Their
and
back
I don't
arm.
Know, yeah. I have no idea what that could possibly do except keep them in some sort of a rhythm, but there's no way in the world that moving your arm like it's a wing as the pitches come in is going to help you. It just wouldn't.
It just cracks me up to watch people, because you're right. Some people in between pitches readjust their glove or their shin guard or something like that. You know, like they'll tap on their calf guard three times.
Yeah.
It's so weird to watch these little quirky things.
But Terry always points out the amount of spitting that goes on from baseball players.
All the time.
And
well, because they're chewing or eating sunflower seeds or gum or they're...
A lot of it is from that. But then there are other guys that are not doing those things, but they also feel the need to spit a lot. And I can't imagine what's going on in their salivary gland that makes them spit with that much regularity.
Well, maybe being active does that.
Do you spit? You play tennis. Never seen you spit.
No.
I don't even think Jimmy Mack knows how to spit.
Oh, anytime he would try. I've seen my boys spit.
Do they spit a lot? But not like pro baseball players. What? Why?
Yeah, no. They're not always spitting. But you know, I feel like growing up, men spit a lot more.
Back then.
Well, yeah. They had the spittoons.
Yeah,
well, No, like around our age, I feel like guys, it was a thing to spit.
Yeah.
You know, they.
There were kids.
Through their teeth. You know, they the guys, they'd spit through their teeth.
I just did it. I didn't mean to do that.
Did you guys have kids in your blood? And when I say kids, I mean guys, because girls are way too classy to do this. Before a guy would spit, you'd hear like that, and
yeah,
then
it's always attractive.
Then comes the spit.
I hate to admit, I'm a pretty far spitter.
You can spit pretty far.
Mm-hmm. Like if I have like a without
how far
getting
is
gross,
far?
But it's not just saliva. It's like if you have a cold or something, that's what you don't want to swallow that. That's what you have to spit, but.
Can't you find a
but
tissue?
I usually do.
If I'm at work, I don't just turn around and spit.
Well,
that's why our old producer left.
You were just bragging about how far
you
can
spit. Well, because I think back, there were all guys on our block, and I hung out with the boys all the time.
And they spit, right?
Yeah. When they taught them how to spit.
So, I mean, they would spit like it was like a cool thing. You know what I mean? They'd walk up, like if we were all standing on the corner, and you know, they'd come up and they'd spit. I mean,
well, that was like a 50s thing for sure.
Because this was the 70s. Hello?
Really?
Yes. They always spit.
Maybe
you know,
they had a weed seed stuck in their throat.
I think it was just like a dumb
to show they
boy
were cool.
Thing. Yeah, it was
hey,
a cool thing.
I'm Eric. Watch this.
As they were pitching pennies, you know what I'm saying? Now I will say,
when were you a kid? Oh my God,
well, I
pitching
grew up in
pennies!
Chicago. I mean, it was a very big thing to
tough spitting area.
I thought it was because of the chewing tobacco. Like people,
that's what we're trying to figure out.
That definitely plays into it a little bit. That definitely makes you spit,
right?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it does.
But now they don't do it on the baseball field, isn't it outlawed now?
Oh no, they do it on the baseball field.
I thought they couldn't have the chewing tobacco anymore. That's why everybody switched to the sunflower seeds.
I don't know what they're using, but they're spitting in record numbers.
No, they're spitting, but I didn't think they could use chew anymore.
Oh, I think they can still chew.
Yeah,
I don't think they can make that illegal.
Really?
How can they?
Yeah.
How can they?
For a baseball player, I'm not saying for everybody.
When all the stories came out about how dangerous it is, I think a lot of people stopped.
Right.
A lot of players stopped and went to sunflower
seeds. You get like cancer in your jaw from it.
Yeah, it's mouth and it's bad.
I thought the baseball commissioner said no more tobacco products on the field.
Someone might have to go on that internet and look that up.
I'm not doing any more work today. I'm out of here in 4 minutes.
This
I'm not
a bonus hour.
We don't have Google.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you work harder.
I'll let you know tomorrow when I can go look it up.
We want a full report on our desk. Yes, Chaz?
Use of chewing tobacco has been banned in minor league baseball since 1993, but is still allowed under the union contract that covers MLB.
Sorry. I raised my hand because I thought I was right for once.
I remember.
But they don't chew it as much, I'm sure.
No, because I think a lot of players wised up and were like, all right, I'm not going to even start this or I'm going to stop.
Do you remember Don Zimmer, who managed the Cubs for a while?
Who can forget him?
Sometimes Don Zimmer would spit stuff out that was from when he was a player. Like there was stuff in his mouth that you go, that's 30 years old, Don. How in the world did you keep that in your mouth that long?
He's like a human squirrel.
He was.
Isn't he the one who spit out a lot of bad words?
Yeah, every once in a while he would.
Didn't he have the rant?
No, that was a different Cubs manager.
Lee Elia.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
That was great.
That was
so funny.
Yeah. About the fans that came to
him. Yeah.
He was blasting fans. This is when the Cubs, I mean, now they're.
Was
this
Les Grobstein
crowds.
That got that tape?
I think it was Les Grobstein.
I want to give him credit. Yeah. I don't know if it is, but I'll still give him credit.
I think it was Les. So he was yelling about the fans that were showing up. This is when the Cubs were drawing 8,000 or 10,000 per game, and he's screaming about them. These guys don't even have jobs, and they come out to Wrigley Field and they ruin everything. And
yeah, because they were yelling,
right?
At the, you know,
crappy
team, which is hilarious. And by the way, speaking of the, you did get the update on the.
The gentleman
ball.
Who...
The ball
we talked about it earlier.
Okay, yeah.
Because Dave Bennett needed to, you know, defend it.
Later yesterday it came out, and I was like, oh, we just talked about that.
Yep.
And
yep.
I heard it. Was it during the John Williams show that it happened?
John talked about it a little bit yesterday, too.
Where we found out that that guy who everybody thought ripped the ball out of the boy's hand had caught a ball and gave it to that same child earlier.
And gave him that ball, too. After they took a picture of it, they handed him that ball, too.
And bought him a pony.
And it was their son.
They found out during the game.
during the game, they did DNA tests.
Oh
my God! Did Maury Povich show
up? Maury Povich was there
with an envelope
and another ball.
The Cubs let Anthony Rizzo and Maury Povich pitch in the same game. It's never happened.
Maury just pitched another story.
That story actually does. It had a happy ending. Yeah. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Dave Ennett.
Yes, we found out today
the 22nd anniversary of Dave being an employee here at WGN Radio.
Wow. And 22 years.
All those years here, also the voice of Northwestern.
Yes.
That's impressive.
No, I don't know where I should have asked Dave this. He would know. I don't know if it was 22 years consecutively, because I know there was a period where Dave did not work here.
I believe it is 22 years.
He worked with me, Felicia Middlebrooks, for quite some time.
That's right.
He came from BBN.
That's right.
I don't think he left and came back.
Dave and Felicia had a show together.
We were not sitting in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
No, we were editing. E-D-I-T-I-N-G.
I didn't know that. What a show that must have been.
It was very exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Felicia.
I like Dave Ennett, and congratulations on 22 years. I did not spit. That is not ladylike.
Those
two brothers I told you about, the twins who live next door to me, Jeff and Scott with a dot, those guys could spit around a corner. I've never seen anybody with the ability. You'd hear that hark, you'd hear the and then everybody in town would look around, oh no, are Scott and Jeff? And then they could just spit in any, they had incredible pinpoint accuracy.
I was pretty good. I still am, and I'm not necessarily proud of it. It's just I learned it when I hung out with all the boys in our neighborhood.
That, I have to say, at your wedding reception was the most impressive thing that happened.
It landed right in a champagne flute.
I feel like
that's precision.
I feel like when I spit, oh my gosh, I'm watching that. What is that?
Yeah,
a box?
Yeah, the building next to us keeps lifting up heavy.
It's a piano, you guys. We watch this all the time. That's what it looks like,
but
though.
But they can't keep lifting pianos up all day.
Into the window.
Yeah, but they do in cartoons all the time.
Yeah, they do in cartoons.
Or seriously, in the black and white movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That looks like one of those dumpsters.
Wendy just hit
it
from 800 yards away. Wendy nailed it.
Okay, when I spit, if I spit over the garbage can, I feel it's like messy and icky, and it's not even a good spit. I didn't know you could practice spitting.
I can teach you how to. I tried to teach my boys how to spit. I know that's terrible. Well,
flash forward to boys on a couch in 20 years. When did you realize things had gone wrong? It was my mom teaching us to spit.
Better have good insurance.
But you do have to learn, obviously, how to spit well.
I'll teach you later.
From Bill. What's the common usage for that? Why would you need to learn that?
To be cool.
To be cool.
Like when I go on an interview, hey.
You wouldn't do it.
By the way, Jasmine has been shaking her head no so often that there's a breeze in the producer's room. They've had to put on windbreakers in the producer's room because she keeps shaking her head no so long. What, Jazz?
Not neck brace.
Yeah, neck brace. Right. Definitely. Definitely. Oh, wow.
Woo!
Wow.
That went over to the next building.
You know, the proper way to spit, like put a Tic Tac in your mouth and just blow the Tic Tac out. You're not actually pursing your lips.
Will practice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And then that's how you can practice.
You guys should have a spitting contest.
Wouldn't that be something?
No. Again, I just am way too honest.
I'm competitive. Wendy would win 1,000-6. It wouldn't even be close.
Well, I've perfected it.
Yeah. She's a pretty good professional beer bong spitter.
Too. As we said, cool.
Yep. Very cool.
Although the beer bong I can no longer do.
Because?
Because I am out of practice, but in high school I was pretty good at it.
What do you mean?
The beer bong with like the oil filter with the hose.
And when you drink a whole can?
Oh, it's more than that. Yeah, you just fill
it
up.
The hose were Wendy's friends.
In one gulp? Like, yeah.
Shut up. Whatever. You know, I open myself up to the audience. I'm not proud of some of the things I did, but I did them. I can't take them back.
This one you are proud of.
No,
you're not?
I'm not. I said I'm not proud of it. I can do it. It's part of
She's not bragging.
No,
I know. She's just.
I don't take all my little secrets and put them in my purse and go home like you do.
It's a handbag.
Oh, sorry.
It's right. A MRSA.
It's a MRSA. Thanks.
Call it what
Thank
it is.
You. It's a MRSA.
Or a man bag.
MRSA.
Yeah, that's what it is. Jude, thanks for hanging out. I wouldn't have if I were you, but you decided to do it.
I've been trying to get out of here.
No idea why you did it. All right, we'll take a quick break and then say goodbye. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Well, that music means.
Oh, don't. Come on.
I'm doing a pretty good sound effect, though, am I not?
It's a great sound effect. Yeah, it's a very good sound effect.
Again, one of my prouder moments in life.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever.
They'll bring this up when you and I are on the WGN Walk of Fame, Wendy. They'll say, remember that? Remember Spit Day?
I'll spit on your star.
Oh.
Better than your grave.
It's true. No, that's true. All right, tomorrow, yet another show, the Wednesday show. We're looking forward to it, so tune in then. Jerry Nunn from Nunn on the Run, I believe, is going to join us. Is that tomorrow?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. Thank you. I wouldn't listen tomorrow then.
We're going to talk about sharks, because I am so hooked on this Shark Week
watching
at home.
Yeah.
There are super celebrities that are part of it.
Sure.
And I've been trying not to fill you in on it, because when we talk about our Shark Week here in Chicago, I want to tell you what celebrities.
Good.
Some are your favorite and some you hate.
Oh, I'm anxious to hear. All right, so all that's tomorrow. Tune in then. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.